Sitting on a cloudless trip to Miami, sipping on the air like a vodka martini, until I crash into the sunken cell. I heard Lily's family's got lots of money. Maybe there'll come a day where we'll settle and marry.
Good morning. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO. I'm Emma, and you're listening to 88 miles per hour. Today I have a very special guest. His name is Joshua Newman. He is the writer, producer, and director of the film Johnny Physical Lives. It's a film based on his brother Jonathan's life. He attended Tufts and was a DJ on this very station. His show was called The Crusher, and he was here from 1998 to 2000 DJing. There's going to be an event tonight at Disler showing the film at 8 o'clock. Joshua, why don't you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here, Emma. The film is the story of Jonathan Newman, a.k.a. Johnny Physical, who is a garage rocker and a student here and a DJ on this college radio station. We grew up in Jersey, and he always dreamed of being a rocker, a rock star, and you know, he had sort of quirky musical taste. Not a lot of people in our town like listened to this. You know, he liked Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry and
sure.
Fats Domino, and when he had this master plan, you know, that when he got to college he would get his band, and part of that master plan was like playing their songs on this radio station and sort of introducing them to the Tufts audience as like Boston's like hottest new act. So
we actually listened to two of Johnny the Physical songs before we
he actually recorded all the songs, all the instruments on his own in our basement in Jersey.
Oh, wow.
And then he brought the tape to college and
with
just sort of looked for the guys who could play these songs. And the film's really about the way that life started imitating art in a weird way.
Wow.
They became the most popular band in Tufts, favorite band here at Tufts. They play it a lot at a venue I don't think exists right now called the cafe. It was like a cafe in the middle of campus. I forgot what it was called, but they played at the Arts House. I know the Arts House is still around lot. And you know, those big like spring fling type fest
they used to play at concerts on campus.
And it was also like he promoted them with such like fanaticism and glee that they, you know, they took on a kind of life of their own. Like you'd see in the Tufts newspaper, they'd ask like, they'd have this like poll of students, what band do you want to see play Tufts Spring Fling? And it'd be like one kid would say Radiohead, and the next kid would say Madonna, the next kid would say Outkast, and then like a kid would say The Physicals.
That's awesome.
So the film is really about like Jonathan, you know, this dream being born, and then this dream being interrupted. He's in 2000, he's diagnosed with leukemia. He's actually like experiencing a lot of the symptoms on the air. He's narrating them on the station to his listeners, even though he probably, I don't know, probably you have more listeners than he had.
I don't know about that.
I know I was a listener, but besides that, no. And he was diagnosed with leukemia in the year 2000 and left Tufts and moved to New York City, started treatment at Memorial Sloan Kettering. The rest of the film is really about how music and this rock and roll dream that was born here at Tufts sustained him and transformed his experience.
Absolutely. I got to watch the documentary, and I can't stress enough that if anyone has time, please go. It's fantastic. You know, not only is it incredible to see that, you know, music and the community here at Tufts, like, and his dream gave him, you know, this power to have the attitude that he did throughout everything is just incredible.
Yeah, there's a really cool scene in the film where he's like he's basically isolated from all his friends at school, and he's just had a bone marrow transplant, and things are kind of iffy for him. I have to say his spirits were pretty good. I mean, he wasn't sad or depressed. He was recording. He was still performing for other patients. He was my biggest source of like strength, I guess, during that time. I was really lucky to have him. But there's a scene in the film where he's like, you see all the letters coming from the kids here at Tufts.
Right.
And they're all addressed to Johnny Physical, which was his stage name. His real name is Jonathan Newman. And it was just a powerful scene. And the film uses animation to sort of enable you to see the world through Johnny's eyes and through my eyes, in a way, to see how this drab, you know, depressing hospital world like felt like something rock and roll when he was in it.
Right. That's incredible. And the film, I think that's such a clever way to do it, that, you know, you have the footage, real life footage of him, and then his rock and roll persona is there in full animation, just so much life into that character. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. We had a great time. I shot it over the course of 12-13 years. I mean, it started with Jonathan really filming himself, and then we shot him in the hospital, and we thought we were making, you know, he was like, well, Johnny Cash played it, you know, San Quentin, why can't Johnny Physical play at Memorial Sloan Kettering? He was also like obsessed with this this video the Cramps did, this show the Cramps did at in Napa. It's like a mental hospital. It's this like iconic VHS from like the 80s, I guess. And there's like a scene where like one of the patients starts biting like Lux Interior from the Cramps.
Oh, geez.
But no one bit him. but he played some great shows. And when he passed away, I'm sorry, I don't, not exactly a spoiler. I mean, he passes away, sorry. Really, that's the turning point in the film. And I got to figure out what the hell to do with all this footage, this documentary we were making together.
Right.
And the story is about, you know, Jonathan, about his life at Tufts, about his music, and it's ultimately about brothers too. You know, it's about our relationship and how we got each other through this really like insane period.
You can tell that, you know, a big part of the film too is the relationship that you guys had, and you can see how special that was, especially since, you know, like you guys had the idea to do the documentary before all this happened, right?
I mean, we were really close. I mean, so we were always, you know, people ask me, what do I think he would have like been doing if he were alive now? He would have been like in his like early 30s, and You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I know we would have been doing something together. We were like really tight. Like,
right.
I just remember the name of the cafe that they used to perform. It was called the Oxfam Cafe.
Yeah.
And it's like an administrative office right now in the middle of campus. But I was in New York. I came down for the physical's first show. It was at the Oxfam Cafe. And he wasn't even like legal age at that point. So we were in Davis Square. I was like buying him wine coolers and getting him like revved up before the show. And it was crazy to see him like, you know, this like nerdy Jewish kid from like Jersey get up on the stage and like sort of like, I mean, it was just like Iggy Pop kind of like, we used to say, we used to say it was a cross between Iggy Pop and Pee Wee Herman.
That's a good way to put it. I like it.
But it's tonight's going to be a really special night because of the setting in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, you talk about like it was, Johnny Physical was like his Frankenstein's monster. This is where he flipped the switch and said, like literally, this room
is the place. Exactly.
The track you just played was like the track he played when he, you know, kind of metaphorically screamed, "It's alive." And so tonight we'll have the screening. It starts at 8:00, and then the new music ensemble performs. It's this experimental kind of improv. Musical improv group that Jonathan was a part of.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When he was here. It's not in the film, but it was like an important part of his like Tufts experience.
Sure.
And a lot of the guys that and women who he performed with are like reuniting for this homage to Jonathan after, you know, not like seeing him for, I don't know, like 15 years.
Wow.
13, 15 years. So that'll be super powerful. When he was in the hospital, actually, there's this, we tried to find the recording, like, but like, it's just got everything. It was like just at the like sort of precipice of the digital age. So there's some stuff is digital, some stuff isn't, but it's like, so we're talking like 90s, early 2000s. So Jonathan was in the hospital and this ensemble came here to WFMO and they performed, in honor of him while he was on the phone. And he was, I would have loved to include this in the film. We just didn't have footage, but he couldn't really, he wasn't strong enough to participate at that, but he was playing the keys of the phone.
Oh my goodness.
As part of this musical performance. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm here to, in a sense, like close the loop, I guess. And you know, this tour wouldn't be complete unless I showed the film here, and I definitely wanted to make this stop here at WMFO. And you know, I wish I didn't have to make this movie. I wish if I made it, he was here with me to celebrate its Tufts premiere. But it still means a lot for me to like be able to like return here and talk to you and hopefully get Tufts students familiar with his story and most of all his music. You know, I think like at the end of the day, we've had really great responses to the film. People like think it's really funny. If you find it really inspiring, and some people, you know, people cry. They was really moved by the film. But you know, the greatest feeling is just when I see people exiting the theater and they're like humming Physical songs, that's to me just the greatest testament, I think, to his legacy. And that's something that he would have really dug, especially when the people humming the songs are cute girls.
Of course. Yeah. No, I think that's really special. And of course, it's nice to see that, you know, his music and him being part of the radio and everything, it meant so much to him, and to see, you know, other people connecting with that, I'm sure it feels great that, you know, his presence is still there in some sort of way.
Yeah. I think it's also just like super interesting. I mean, it's just like we're showing it at Distler Hall. I don't think there was a Distler Hall at this point, at this time. And, you know, the radio station, I've been here a lot and I have photos of him sitting in this room, and the radio station has a way of staying, kind of frozen in time in terms of, and I'm not just talking about the bathroom, but but the campus has changed a whole lot, and it's like, I don't know that kids here know about like the history, like just like the just incredible like wealth of like just powerful experiences and people that have come through here. And so, you know, I think it, in a sense, you're learning about like my brother, his story. You're experiencing some great music, but you're also like going in a bit of a time machine to Tufts in like 1998, 1999, and just like a kid with like a pretty like shitty camera walking around and like
having a great time. Yeah.
Having a blast.
No, I love it. Yeah, I mean, for me too, you know, like being a DJ here is, you know, my favorite thing on campus. I love it. And it was really touching for me to see someone else that felt similarly. And, you know, it is neat. Like we were talking earlier before the show that there's a lot of history that has happened here. Like you said, you know, people who've had these crazy experiences and all this stuff that we don't know about, you know, doesn't really get passed down. So I think that this is, again, yeah, perfect opportunity not only to learn about, you know, Jonathan, his experience, and just to get to watch this great film, but I think everyone can get a little something out of it that, you know, like this is the school we're at, and these things happened here, and I think that's just really neat.
Yeah, yeah, I don't, you know, I think it's not a Tufts issue. I think it's an issue across college campuses.
Oh, absolutely.
And then across like America. We're very forgetful, I think, as a culture, and we don't. And when we do learn history, it's like as an obligation. It's not because
we want to know,
like enrich our life in mm-hmm. some way. But it's gonna be, it's for me, it's super cool to learn about like where I'm from, you know,
sure.
And just to watch him also. Like, there's something about, I think something also really special about being a DJ at a college station, because you're like, in a way, you're chronicling your exploration. Like college is about exploring, and
when you're
playing music, you're really for an audience, you're kind of chronicling your exploration. And so, yeah, I mean, we don't have this and that in the film, but like, you know, he was just like obsessed with music and obsessed with, you know, mostly it was like punk that sprang out of New York in the 1970s. That was the music that informed him the most. The sort of New York Dolls. I'm sitting underneath a poster.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of eerie.
There it is.
But Iggy Pop, Velvet Underground, T-Rex. We have there's a T-Rex song in the film. But he was just like, also just like grew up on, you know, 50s music. He studied jazz and blues here at Tufts, and was actually originally trained as a jazz drummer, and he was also just like into weird shit. Like, I can say that, right? He was just like into weird shit. Like, so he'd play like German drinking songs on the air, or like songs by the Muppets, or just monologues by pro wrestlers in the middle of his show. So yeah, those were real treasures. That he luckily like held on to those tapes of his WMFO shows. So yeah, it enabled me as a filmmaker to in a way, like those tracks provide a kind of ongoing narration,
right
and a kind of commentary on what's going on in the film. He's in a lot of ways like chronicling you know, his concerns about his health on the air. Of course, he doesn't know what's happening to him.
Right.
It's a terrifying thing.
Oh, of
like,
course.
Because he's...
Yeah, you don't know.
Like, one day you're having headaches, and the next day you have, like, leukemia.
Right.
Like, it's fucking crazy. Yeah, it's powerful. No one leaves not feeling, like, incredibly moved. And it's great for me, you know, because... you know, it's funny, like, it's not fair what happened to him. And people your age, when I was your age, you shouldn't have to go through something like
what
he went through. You know, I think when he passed away, it was just like a little bit like, oh God, like, people are afraid to even say his name.
Right.
Because they think it's going to either... make them sad or recall something that was lost. Just to see him bringing joy to people's life again, I can't even describe that feeling. It's like, it's spectacular.
Oh, I can only imagine that means a lot to you. That's great.
I think the film's also, it's like super personal. I think a lot of people, in a weird way, it, you know, predicted like how public our lives are right now, that he really you know, and it's almost a little shocking to see the inside of a hospital room in the 90s and enter this like very vulnerable world that that you don't sort of necessarily feel like you deserve to be witnessing, but he was just such a performer and such a you know, it gave me pause at times, some of the things I share, but he was just, he loved attention that much, and I mean you can sort of feel that.
Absolutely.
That, you know, I can't imagine that like he wouldn't be enjoying like every second of this, and especially this Tufts experience, where, you know, he really like didn't get to leave here on his own terms. It was like, there's actually a scene in the film they were on the Arts House. By the way, if you live in the Arts House, you should definitely learn about the, the ghost who's like hanging out on the top floor.
Oh, wow.
Of your house today. As you brush your teeth, but there's a scene on the porch of the Arts House where a bunch of kids are goofing around, and one of them, they're totally like wasted, but like one of them like sort of playfully swings a bottle at Jonathan, and like they're goofing, whatever, it's probably like a little fucked up, but like so it cracks on Jonathan's head, and it's just like head, it's like totally like starts bleeding and stuff, and it was partially because his blood counts were so screwy that like it couldn't, his blood couldn't congeal. He didn't know he was sick at that time. We capture that on camera, and he was really rushed out of here and never got to really say goodbye, and to his friends, to his life. I, you know, walked into the Arts House and packed up his stuff and like packed it into my car, and then just like sort of met him at the hospital. And, you know, for the next year and a half, you know, he wasn't in the hospital the whole time. Mm-hmm. And we had some good experiences, some great trips, and great, but I mean, both inside and outside the hospital. But I think largely what I'm thinking about today is just like closure, and just in a way tonight gives him a chance to say goodbye, I think. Not to get too sappy, but
I completely understand that. That's perfect opportunity for it. I think it's great. I hope that everyone finds time to go. I think it's really great that you're doing this.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Of course. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Distler Hall. Johnny Physical Lives. Boston's sexiest rock and roll band.
Please, please go. You will regret it if you do not.
Yeah. the order of their hedgerows. It's in the way their curtains open and close. It's in the look they give you down their nose. Oh, part of decency's jigsaw, I suppose.
Was a little XTC for you with Respectable Street, and before that we listened to Rudy Can't Fail by The Clash. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. We have a quick PSA. I picked this one about outdoor exercise because I think it's important. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. I'm back here with Joshua again. We were just chatting about the film some more.
Yes.
Yes. Distler. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And yeah, if any of you want to get a sense of what the film's all about, or Jonathan's music, you can go to johnnyphysicallives.com. We've got the trailer on the homepage of the film site, as well as some information about Jonathan's life and the film.
You should check it out and listen to his songs again, because they were really good and I enjoyed them. So great. You can do that. Let's see, what else?
you're talking about the animation.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. If you want to talk about that, because for me, like watching it, you know, the animation was really cool because, you know, obviously I never met your brother. I don't know him, but I feel like through that, I was able to get more of an idea of, you know, who he was and what his whole, like, you know, image and everything was about.
Yeah, I mean, God, like a lot of what is horrible about being in the hospital for a long time and going through something like that, like, going through your individuality gets stripped away, and you know, you literally, your hair, you lose your hair, you lose your it's hard to cling to the things that matter to you. You become, for lack of a better word, a body, a physical body.
Yeah,
it was sort of an irony at the heart of things. But like, you know, when I was showing friends the footage that I had taken of Jonathan in the hospital, they were just, all they were seeing was sadness and
right.
A life that had been taken. And that was certainly part of the story. It is a sad film, but it's also a lot of other things. And it's funny and it's weird and it's inspiring at times and it's twisted at other times. Maybe it's in bad taste at sometimes, but only in the best sort of way. you know, so I wanted to find like a visual language that would capture that, and because it was the truth of the experience. So I did a Kickstarter a few years ago and hired an animator, and we in the film we flicker back and forth between this sort of sterile and depressing world of the hospital and this like sexy fantasy world of Johnny Physical. And you get, yeah, between the two, you get a sense of what he's really, hopefully you get a sense of what he's feeling, who he is. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't around to help me with the animation.
Right, right.
But I really wanted it to have a sense that it was his fantasy and not just mine. So when I was working with the animator, I shared all these like cinematic and musical references that Jonathan was like influenced by. So, you know, if you're an astute watcher of cinema, you might notice references to some of his favorite films in Johnny Physical Lives. There's definitely a Trainspotting reference in there. There's definitely a Goonies reference in there. And even just the color palette of the film is just like, I tried to just kind of bathe this rock and roll universe from the 1970s with like the colors of kind of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which
sure,
is like
enjoy.
The cartoon he was obsessed with when he was a little kid. You know, certainly like a lot of the great rock and roll films also inspired me. Sid and Nancy and the Joe Strummer documentary. It was funny, you were just playing that Joe Strummer song. The Clash song, Joe Strummer documentary, Futures Unwritten is a spectacular documentary. New York Doll, that's a great documentary. Actually, the bassist from the New York Dolls had leukemia as well. That's a beautiful film. So hopefully you're not just hopefully you're learning about Jonathan's life at Tufts and his life afterwards, but you're also in a way entering his imagination and his subconscious and I think I'm not sure how much, you know, it's impossible for to catch every reference there.
Sure.
But you get, people do leave with a sense that this was a really like complicated and imaginative and creative and happy like person.
Sure.
And I think that also comes across in his music. It's like, very happy music. I wish I had more songs for you to play.
I did too.
But thankfully it's the whole soundtrack for the movie.
Right.
So there's 7 or 8 physical songs, and you know, it's funny, the physicals themselves, you know, his band all graduated from Tufts, went on to live, like, you know, grow up, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, is still kind of involved in rock and roll scene in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And the others are, a couple of them are lawyers. and it's fun to, I showed one of them, one of them has seen the film. And it's just like he's just really, it's fascinating to just see the sort of wave of memories that kind of just overwhelms
right.
him.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, but I didn't set out to make a documentary film, and we didn't. Sorry, I didn't set out to make an animated film.
Right.
I wasn't an animation fan. Jonathan wasn't really an animation fan. It's just it sort of came out of necessity.
Right.
And you see a lot of documentaries increasingly using animation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's definitely something that's happening in documentary filmmaking today. I see it a lot at the festivals I've taken. Johnny Physical Lives too, but it's super complicated and costly, and I don't recommend animation to the documentarians who are faint of heart. One of the cool things also in the film is Albert Maysles is involved in it.
Right.
Albert Maysles is so right in the middle of Jonathan's. Experience in the hospital and us kind of shooting this rock and roll documentary, this sort of outrageous and outlandish kind of proposition. A friend of mine tells me that Albert Maysles, the guy that made the iconic rock Rolling Stones documentary Gimme Shelter, is doing a series for PBS and it's about death, and he would like to interview Jonathan, so he came to the hospital. He was planning to spend around, 10-15 minutes with him. He ended up spending a few hours.
Wow.
And the series for PBS never aired, and he gave me the footage, so I was able to, actually, Albert Maysles, contributed footage to...
Oh, wow.
...to this film, and it's actually, I gotta say, it's probably my favorite scene in the film, because... Albert, most of his career, or most of the really important, iconic films of his career were done with his brother, mm-hmm. David, mm-hmm. Who passed away before Albert passed away last year. David passed away, must have been a decade ago. So one of my favorite scenes in the film is when Albert comes to interview Jonathan in the hospital. We see, Albert Maysles and his, cameraman
right.
interviewing Jonathan in a hospital bed, but then we sort of cut to the animated universe, and there's Johnny Physical in his his bed at the Chelsea Hotel being interviewed by Albert Maysles, the mm-hmm, documentarian, mm-hmm. but also David is alive in the animated world, and that's sort of the idea that this kind of imagined fantasy mm-hmm. of Jonathan's has this kind of magical effect over the universe.
Right.
It allows us to experience Albert with David again. Mm-hmm. I wish he were alive to
see
this
it.
Film.
Sure.
But that's actually my favorite moment. It was a very subtle moment. Not too many people notice it, but it's easy to get lost, but if you do make it out tonight, that I think is one. That's something to look out for. And we just sort of in a way, it's this journey through Tufts in the late '90s and Memorial Sloan Kettering in the early 2000s, but also like seedy and grimy New York in the 1970s. It's a weird film, I think.
It hits a lot of stuff, but I think it really comes together as a whole nicely, all the different parts of it. So it's okay. Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on the air. I hope that again everyone comes out. Distler, 8:00. Don't forget it. It's a fantastic film, and I'm really glad that you were here and showing it, and I think that's awesome.
Thanks so much, Emma.
Thank you.
shots on purpose. Keeping tabs on all my scrimmages and crossing out my closest friends for someone I can't recommend.
Should be.